Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, Jesus is Greater Than Any Problem. The previous 3 months have been a grueling battle with cancer in Ina's eye, and it got to the point where Pastor John was preparing for defeat when the Holy Spirit said, God is greater than what you are facing now. Satan's spell was broken, and he began to proclaim this promise from the Lord in faith. Miracles begin with the resurrection of Jesus and knowing that Satan is defeated. Many people believe that Satan is an equal to God, but this is a lie from the devil. He is a created being with limited power. God works in the most impossible situations, but it is important to examine the scriptures and make up your mind as to whether they are true or not. So if you're facing an impossible situation, you can still walk in victory. This message is entitled, All Things Are Possible with God. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on April the 8th, 2012. Our favorite Sunday, Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, and this is the Resurrection Day. Amen. And we have celebrating that 52 times a year. And we're praising God for that. And I'm very happy that you came here today. And I got a special message that God gave me. It was written Monday this week. And I hope that you will get excited with me. So if you can, would you stand with us as we have a word of prayer together? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that on this Resurrection Sunday, 2012, I can be in church. Father God, I thank you for that. And I praise you right now that you're going to do a mighty work here today. And not only today, Lord, but for years to come as this video will be played over and over again in different parts of the world. And I just want to thank you and praise you right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be reading a letter to you here when we have our prayer time. But I want to share this with you. That we got a letter, actually an email this week from a man that was from Canada. And he simply had been looking for some things on the internet. Ended up with looking at Howard Pittman. And he was posted on our website, came to our website. And then he started listening to some of our videos. And he had been listening now every day for about several weeks to every video that we ever made. And I had the joy of leading him to Christ this last week. And we praise God for that. So there are things happening, and I'll be sharing some more things with you later on. I want you to turn with me right now to Matthew chapter 28. That's Matthew chapter 28. And if you're facing the impossible today, I want you to know that all things are possible with God. Now, let me read this since I don't get too excited. Have you ever been told that a situation is hopeless? Have you ever experienced fear that grips you so hard that you cannot see anything but defeat? Have you ever caved in to the fear and started preparations for retreat? Well, all these questions I will have to answer yes to. On April the 2nd, this last Monday, that was me. And for a while, my mind was conditioned to the fact that there was nothing that could be done. Defeat was at hand. I was so out of it. Clouds coming and rolling in black. Clouds. that I simply could not think straight. And then the Holy Spirit spoke loud and clear inside of me. And he simply said, God is greater than what you're facing now. And he's able to handle this situation. The next night, the Holy Spirit spoke as I was praying and seeking to prepare a message to God. And he gave me this message. He simply said this, Jesus is greater than Alzheimer's or whatever is facing you. If it's kidney failures, heart problems, whatever it is, Jesus is greater. Now today we're looking at Resurrection Sunday. And we all get hyped up. But you see that resurrection power should be surging through us every day of the year. And it will. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 28 as we get into this message. The resurrection. Matthew 28, 1 through 8. And we read this. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, it was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became a dead man. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. The resurrection is a key, it's a cornerstone in our faith. And if you look upon it from a historical background, in Jewish history books, they do acknowledge that Jesus Christ existed. They talk about the miracles he did. They talk about his death on the cross. They don't talk about his resurrection, but they talk about that his disciples multiplied by the thousands because they claimed he was resurrected. Josephus, the historian, he writes about it. In Roman history, it is well known. And if you really think about it, if you go back in time, Buddha is in a grave. The last thing he said before he died was, I never did find it. If you look upon the prophet, so-called Muhammad, he's dead. He got a grave. People are going there to simply look at a grave where they got the skeleton of him laying there, if they got that much. Joseph Smith is dead. He never rose. Brigham Young is dead. Jim Jones is dead. You go and look out through history, and every person that claimed that they had something from God, they all died, and they never came back. Have you ever heard anyone saying, you know, in the name of Muhammad, be healed? They don't do that. There's no healing there. Have you ever heard anyone say, in the name of Joseph Smith, be healed? No, he doesn't heal. Have you ever heard anyone say, in the name of Buddha, rise from the dead? No. There's only one name given under heaven whereby man can be saved, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I want to read this to you here from the book of Romans here. There's a little bit of extra scripture here. And turn to Romans chapter 8. And I want to read here from verse number 15. Actually, let's go up to verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to the flesh. For if you live to the flesh, you should die. But if you're through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we also be glorified with Him. Now, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Okay? He's living in us. We cannot see Him, but He is there. Turn back to Matthew 28 now, the last verse. Matthew 28. And in verse 18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I want you to think about this here tonight, this morning now. Jesus is resurrected. We have been born again. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have God the Father, God the Son living in us. The same resurrection power that served through Jesus is surging through us this morning. Why is it then that we cannot rise and simply shake off the chains that Satan has put on us? Why is it? The reason that is, we simply have not had a faith for it. Let's go through a few points here now. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. The first thing we want to establish here today is this. Satan is defeated. Satan is defeated. Revelation 12, verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael's angels fought against the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan would deceive the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power is Christ. For the accuser of our burdens cast down with the accused that before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, that you that dwell in them. Both inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil's come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Now Satan was defeated in that war. And in Colossians chapter 2, that's Colossians, the second chapter, we read this. Colossians chapter 2, and we pick it up in verse number 6. Colossians 2, 6. As you therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, to walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In the most you are circumcised with circumcision made by the hands, putting off the body of sin that of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Jesus has once and for all defeated the devil. The devil is defeated. He only has as much power as we allow him to have. If we allow him to move freely, he will move freely. And this Monday afternoon, as I got together with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit simply said this to me: Jesus is greater than any problem you are facing. Usually people think if you have a heart attack, you got problems. If you have a stroke, you're worse off. If you got kidney failures, liver failures, whatever it is, these are incurable diseases. And of course, the medical establishment, you know, they simply said, you know, we got no cure for that. We can slow things down. We can do this and that. But we really need to stop and realize that Jesus Christ, by his stripes, I have been healed. You have been healed. He bore our sicknesses in his body on the cross. Now, either we have faith to believe that or not. Let me try to illustrate that for you. Let's say that I got a 357 Magnum gun and I got it loaded. And somebody breaks into my house. I get the gun out. I take off the safety. And I simply begin to point this to the intruder. And the intruder says, I don't believe in that gun. That's a fake gun. I don't believe that. He tried to intimidate me. And I begin to shake. Well, maybe I didn't load it right. Do I have bullets in there? Well, I don't have time to look now because he's coming against me. What do I do? Pull the trigger. Boom. There goes an intruder down. And you go, whew. You pick up your phone and dial 911. And say, I got a dead body laying in here. He just broke into my house. Come and get him. We need to take our gospel guns and simply pull the trigger and say, enough is enough. I had it. Turn to Luke chapter 10. It's the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. And we've been here before. I'm going to repeat myself. As a pastor, one time he had preached a sermon about 76 times. And on the 77th times, the deacons got together with the elders and walked up to the pastor and said, you know, Pastor, we heard this message now 77 times. Can you please prepare another message? And the pastor said, I'll be very happy to as soon as you get the message. Now, in Luke chapter 10, verse number 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils have served unto us for your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan and his lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that the Spirit is sent to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. If that is true, we need to apply that. We need to simply say, I believe this, I proclaim this, and I'm going to live like this. And turn to Ephesians chapter 6. That's Ephesians, the 6th chapter. You pick up from verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, it would be nice if you could be a little stronger. Is that what Paul says? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking a shield of faith, wherever you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Holy Spirit reminded me this week, going back in time to about 1976, something like that. And my wife and I, and we had a little team, we were over in Sweden that summer. And we came into an area up in the mountains in northern Sweden where the churches were dead. And we'd been invited by a little Baptist church, and they had maybe 10 members. And I talked to the pastor, and he had, was in a pity, what do you call it, very, you know, pitiful. He had self-pity. He just felt so bad. He simply said, you know, this place is dead. He says, you know, I'm going to quit the church. We're just going to close it down. Nothing works. I simply said this. We're going to have a revival here. Now, he had pitched a small tent. About 30 people could be in the tent. He had pitched a smaller prayer tent for about 5 people. So, in about first day, so the tent was full. And people began to fill up the prayer tent. And we were praying. About the third or fourth day, as I gave the invitation, from the very back of the room, it was a man that was just doing like this to me. Now, when I give an invitation, they come here, I don't go down there. So I ignored him. So we had our invitation, pray for the people. Afterwards, I went up to him and I said, what can I do for you? He said, my uncle is the leader of the satanic church in this valley. He said he didn't dare to come down and to the meeting, but he sent me down because he wanted to ask you if you can come and visit him. He said, nothing works for us. I said, we're glad to go. So they didn't have time to go that day. I sent the team up there. Second day I went. Here's what the Satanist told me. He said this, we have controlled this valley for years. But the moment you guys started with your revival meetings, we couldn't get a demon up. We couldn't do nothing. I said, praise God. So we reached him to get saved. He did what he said. He said, you got the power. But he said, when you leave, this sorrowful pastor here, you know, he's just going back down to his old self. And he says, you know, Satan will beat me up. So because of that bad testimony, he couldn't come to Christ. But we had, so we left that valley, moved about maybe 50 or 100 miles north. And then I read in the paper the next day that this group got crazy. And they went out and cut down power poles with their chainsaws and darkened the whole valley. And then they got arrested and put in a clink. The Holy Spirit reminded me Monday, you remember when you stood there in that valley and you had no fear and you were bold? I said, yeah, I remember that. I remember that. So I decided Monday afternoon that I had it up to here of the devil no more. Now, when you do that, you see, he does not go down without a fight. So Tuesday was a bad day. Got worse. And the devil said, doesn't work. Doesn't work. You ever been tired of the price? You're so worn out that you're worn out of being worn out. And I said, dear God, what are we doing here? And then I just said, we're going to be praising God. And I went through the house shouting, Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. We read a word, Ephesians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We read all the verses. And Wednesday, not too good. And I decided this, we're just going to push. And then finally, to the end of the week, it broke. It's broken. He is defeated. But you got to get mad. I have been in my house so mad, I've been standing and said, I hate your devil. Get out of here. Loose this place. Finally. Now, devil also said this to me this week. So you're going to go and preach on this Resurrection Sunday. I fix your wife. I take care of her. I said, you shut up. She's going to be doing just fine. And she's never been so fine as of today. And she's going to be better tomorrow, completely restored of everything. We coming out of a battle of 3 months. 3 months. We've been up at nights. We've been fighting, praying. And then finally, God said, he's defeated. Take your place. Turn to Matthew 19:26. Matthew 19:26. Now, the devil thought, you know, well, I'm going to make it rain in his parade. My wife and I went out for a ride Friday. And about 100 miles away from my home, the Volvo broke down. Here went the power steering. And I had to sit, you know, and just fight it coming back home. Dear God, help us get back home. And the devil said, that's about $800. So yesterday I was out cutting the grass. So the tractor died. And the starter died, you know. So he said, now, see there, you know. There's another $200. Satan comes in and he tries to steal your joy. All right? He will break things for you. He will send people to you that will tell you unbelief. There'll be all kind of stuff. But I tell you what. Let's read now. Matthew 19:26. Have you read this? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. This is tax week. We've been fighting, you know, a number to get the money for the taxes. So here now, a car broke down. Tractor broke down. Actually, it's a lawn mower. I call it a tractor, but it's a lawn mower. But it's my tractor. I can ride on it. I've been riding for 19 years. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, you're going to have to begin to make up your mind. I heard Billy Graham say about a week ago, so on. He's written a book, How to Gracefully Grow Old and Accept It. And I thought about, you know, how to grow old and gracefully accept it. You know, well, now I can't walk, you know, and I can lose this, lose that. You know, gracefully I'm going to lose it all. But the Bible says I got 120 years. And the Bible says that by his stripes I'm healed. There's no place in the Bible that says I have to die of a broken body. Hello? It's not in the Bible. But people tell you that. So get excited. God works the impossible. Now turn to Isaiah 45. This is important. Satan is not equal with God. He's not even close. He's a created being. Isaiah 45. And you pick it up in verse number 18. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Hello? I am the Lord, there is none else. There are no other gods out there in the universe hanging around. I have not spoken in secret in dark place of the earth. I said, not under the seed of Jacob seek you me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourself and come. Draw near together, you that escaped other nations. They that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of the graven image, and pray to God that cannot save. Tell you and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who has declared this from ancient time, who has told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me. A just God, a Savior, there is none beside me. Now you need to tell the devil that. He is not equal with God. Now look at 46 and verse 8. Get better. Remember this and show yourself, men. Bring it again to mind, all your transgressions. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Can it be more clear? That's what he said. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time, the things that are not yet done, say, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. If you turn up to Ezekiel chapter 28, that's Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, Satan is a created angel. And his power, he receives power from God just like you and I receive power from God. He does not generate his own power. He's on a leash. Ezekiel 28, verse number 14. You are the anointed cherub that covers. I've set you so. You were upon a holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. But the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence. You have sinned. Therefore I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy your covering cherub in the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. There is a devil. He is a created being, not equal with God. And the good news is, he has been sentenced to the lake of fire. He's a felon. You understand that? He is not a free being. He's a felon. He's out right now, not on parole, but he's out because he's appealing his sentence. But in Revelation chapter 20, and we read this here from verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan is defeated. He is defeated. He only has as much power as you and I give him. If you agree with the diagnosis of the doctors, you know that this is terminal, this is that, this is that. Then you see, you tie God's hands because you have agreed. But if you say, I do not agree, I have a God that is of the impossible. He does the impossible things. Now you're moving into faith. Let's move now to Mark chapter 16. How do you walk in victory? Mark chapter 16. And we'll pick this up here. And I'm preaching to you something now that I have not experienced. I tell you what, I walked the floors. I've been up at night. I've been crying, hollering, praying. Mark 16, verse number 15. And Jesus said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's in my Bible. I hope that's in your Bible. I got a King James Bible. Now, if this is true, then we need to begin to exercise this and to believe this. Because if you look now in verse number 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. God confirms the word. All right? The second point is, you must abide in Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. John 15. You cannot live like hell, party like hell, and expect to have power from the Holy Ghost. Doesn't work that way. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, my Father, husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean for the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Abiding, what does that mean? It simply means this, that you proclaim that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And wherever you go, you take Jesus with you. Actually, you go with him. Now, if you're going to watch a program on television, ask yourself this, could I invite Jesus to sit down with me and say, hey, Jesus, have a beer. I got a cigar over here. Let's watch this porno. Now, if you can invite Jesus to do something with you, then do it. But if you cannot say, well, Jesus would kind of be uncomfortable here, then you should be uncomfortable too. Abide in him. Begin to speak the words. How are you today? I'm fine. Well, you're lying. No, I'm fine in Christ. I might have pain. I might have this, but I'm finding Christ because the pain is going. It has to go. And then thirdly, you must make a decision to believe God in faith. Turn to Hebrews 11:6. That's Hebrews chapter 11 at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I saw a miracle yesterday. We had a little construction. And we had a beam that was 20 feet long. And I would estimate it probably weighs probably between 300 pounds plus. It's a heavy beam. And we had to lift that beam up approximately 18 feet in the air to seat that in two, what do you call it, seats. And we had a master carpenter with us, Michael Burns. And Mike, I asked Michael several times, how are we going to get this up? Easy. I said, yeah. We were four men. One man with a bad back. Another man with a bad back. And me. And I was holding a rope. Now, before we started, prayer was said. My brother prayed. Asked God. Gave him wisdom. Picked that thing up with a tractor. Moved it around. Got it positioned. Finally was leaning up like this. And here now is Michael. He says, this how we're going to do it. So he and my brother got together one end. He said, push! Push! We prayed. Man, that thing slid up there. And just slid right in place. Now, I would say that was an impossible job. With a very short manpower we had. But you see, you want to take your faith into everyday work. If it is to repair your car, if it is on your job, whatever it is, you take your faith with you and simply say this, through Christ, I can do this. Through Christ, this can be done. You got to have an attitude of faith. This is a slogan that was given to me this week by Thomas Burns. Attitude and gratitude. You simply have an attitude that God can do it, and you have an attitude of gratitude. Praise God for He is doing it. Praise God for everything we have. Let me read again to you now. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now ask yourself, how are you speaking? How are you speaking? When somebody come up and say, how are you doing today? Well, you know, I got this problem. I got that problem. I got this problem. I got that problem. What you're doing is you're putting up mountains of problems saying, these are my problems and I'm facing my problems. Why not simply say this? I have not been successful. I've had some problems. But Jesus is greater, and Jesus is in the process right now of solving my problems. Last month, we faced $6,000 to have the taxes done. We barely are making it. The devil said, that's a whole bunch of money for us. I praise God, today we're down to $1,500. And God has been doing some things. I could have simply said this, well, this mountain cannot be done. This mountain cannot be removed. But you know, we have a song that says, you know, this mountain has been removed. And it shall be removed. So you're going to have to make up your mind. Make up your mind. Now, here's what I'm going to give you a picture. Here is Jesus on this side. Here's the devil on that side. Devil screams in your ears. It can't be done. Jesus said, have faith. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the devil? And says, oh, I'm going down. Are you going to believe Jesus and say, I'm going up? It's an attitude. It's an attitude. While we have gone through this 3 months of hell, I wrote the book, Kabbalah Book Number 5. It's a powerful book. We've released it about another week or so, 2 weeks. And the devil said, you will never write that book. I said, I will write that book. I only had an hour here, an hour there. Had to squeeze hours in, never know what was happening inside the house. But I went out there and I wrote it and I prayed and I wrote it and I finished it. I could have simply said, oh, you know, I can't do this, you know. This is too above me. That book is going to be done. It is being done, and it was done. You have to have an attitude. You put your mind to it, what you're going to do. I never missed a Sunday here. I got sermons every Sunday. It's an attitude. If you can or you can't. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. This is a great chapter to read. Isaiah 53. Now, when you start out in faith, you're not going to see nothing. You're going to see nothing but bad stuff. And you got to simply go through the bad stuff and simply say out of the way. You got to faith it. Praise God. Push, push. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root of a dry ground. He has no form to countenance us. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he has borne our griefs. Notice that. He's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That was written 700 years before Christ. With his stripes, we are healed. Now turn to Matthew chapter 8. That's Matthew the 8th chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 16. Matthew 8, 16. And when even was coming, they brought to him many who were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that he might be fulfilled with the spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses. Let me read it again. When the even was come, they brought to Jesus many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that he might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses. You're going to have to make up your mind now. If this is true, then God can heal this. God can heal that. God can give you a job. God can repair a marriage. There is nothing that is impossible for God. The only time when God cannot work is when you say no. When you in unbelief say, the devil is greater, disease is greater, damage is better, the economy is down, everything is bad. That's when Jesus simply says, I'm out of here. Have fun while you're dancing with the devil. You got to get mad. And simply said, enough is enough. I'm going to have victory. Turn to Mark 11 there. Mark chapter 11. And the beautiful thing is, these promises are not according to age. Hello? You know, I got so upset. I was in the store Safeway. Yesterday I had to buy a few things. Not a whole lot. And the man behind the counter said, you know, first the lady that was bagging said, you know, sir, would you like us to carry that out for you? I said, carry that out for me? No, I don't think so. And then the clerk that was cashier said, you know, would you like someone to take that out for you? I said, I am very well capable. This is nothing. You should see what other things I do. Of course, it would have been nice to say, you know, I'm over 70 years old. Yeah, you can carry that out for me when I walk it out, you know. Praise God. It's an attitude. If you think you age, you had it. Don't think you age. Think 120. That's what God said. I give you 120. Claim it. Our uncle. It's going to be 100 years in September this year. And he's told us this. He said, you know, I couldn't believe I'd get that old. There's one thing my uncle has done, both my brother and my uncle. He's been a singer. He always sang in choirs. He always sang gospel. And he played the guitar and he always sang. And when you sing and you praise God, you live longer. Because you're praising the Lord. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, 22. Now, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that all things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, this is what I had to do Monday. We were in defeat. I saw nothing but defeat. I didn't see any victory. And I said, this mountain has to be removed. It has to be cast out into the sea. And I simply had a desire, and I believed what I spoke and asked for was going to happen regardless what the circumstances were. That's where you got to come down. If you want to have victory, that's how you got to do it. Now, and then you must live in forgiveness. Verses 25 through 26. It's always a little bit something, isn't it? And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, if you have aught against somebody, you're not going to have the victory. You got to release everyone, regardless of what they've done to you. How bad the damage was, release them. Forgive them and move on and don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. Let me read it what I said as we get invited here. It should be understood that God expects us to do our part when it comes to living on this earth. God expects us to be good stewards with our finances and talents. We should take care of our bodies by eating and drinking what is good for us. And use supplements that God created for the healing of our bodies. Now, we started in December, and we decided this, that we were not going to go with a medical, establishment, because they did not have any hope for us. They simply said, this is an incurable disease your wife has, and there's nothing to do but to cut, remove, and destroy. We made a decision that that time that God was greater, and we're going to do something else. And so we have simply taken supplements that God has done, the different thing can be done, and we recognize that the supplements, the things we have done, is not necessarily going to do the healing. The healing comes from God. But this was our faith. We simply said, Lord, we're going to do this in faith. We're going to do what we can. And we are expecting you to meet us and complete the healing. And God did. I never forget the afternoon. My wife was having strokes. And I could just see it. She was sitting in a chair. And she was just like this. I mean, the whole body was shaking. And she could barely talk. And I said, God, what do I do? And the Holy Spirit said, call this guy in Alabama. I'd been working with us. I called him up. I said, here's what my wife is doing. He said, she's having a stroke. He said, you go to the feed store. You buy this item and give it to her, and he told me how to mix it. He said, now don't think about it. He said, you don't do this tomorrow. He said, you do it now. Hang up and go. Well, I hung up and I went. Got the stuff in the feed store. About $8.75. Got home. My wife was still shaking. But, man, tell you what. Fear was gripping me. Oh, God. Oh, God, I didn't call the ambulance. Oh, God. This stuff here says not for human consumption. Oh, man, I bought it in the horse store. Oh, God, what do we do? And I said, okay, in faith, we're going to do it. Here went the juice. Here went the stuff. I told my wife, drink it. I said, dear God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. After she'd taken about three, 4 minutes, the shaking began to subside. And in 15 minutes, she was totally healed. Back to normal. Totally healed. Now, who did the healing? God did. God had created that stuff. But he showed us we had to meet him halfway. We met him there. There are times when you have those supplements. There are times you might be in a place where you have nothing. And then God would do it 100%. But you see, if you got some food, you got to eat it. We cannot simply say, God, I'm going to believe you now. From now on, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm not going to cook anymore. I'm just going to sit at a table. I'm going to open my mouth expecting you not only to put it in my mouth, but I want you to chew it too. He doesn't work that way. There are certain things you have to do. Now let's turn to Matthew 8:13. Matthew 8:13. And Jesus sent the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now I want you to look in your Bible, if you're going to read that slow. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so be done unto you. There's the key. If you don't have faith, then of course nothing will happen. But if you say, I believe God will meet you. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. What Jesus did yesterday, he does today, will do tomorrow. The problem is you and me. We simply say, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. One man came to Jesus and he asked, Jesus, help my unbelief. That's a good place to start. Jesus, help my unbelief. Now you're watching us and you're simply saying this, I'm not in the church. I wish I was there. Well, the good news is this, that Jesus is where you are too. And you can, if you are alone, you can stand up in front of your computer set and pray with us as we're going to pray here. And if you have people in the room around you, you can simply lay hands on one another and praise God and pray. And you can have the same thing because we're going to pray today for faith here. We're going to begin to pray for faith. This is called Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, right? Resurrection. Power. And today we're going to do something very special. I'm going to pray first. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now. And Lord, this sermon might not have gone the way that I thought it was going to go. But Father, I pray that you will use whatever was spoken here to your glory. And Father God, we shall have the power. And today the power is going to fall at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. In Jesus' name. Here's what we're going to do. Musicians, come on up. Get ready. I want to have the elders and the deacons with me here on the platform. Softly. Here's what we're going to do. If you want to have more power, and you would simply say this, I want more faith, as we sing this song, you come and stand right in front of here. If If you want to have that today, you come up here. How about you sing? You sing your faith. Just come on up. We can close it here. Don't be bashful. If you want to be healed today, if you want to have power, you come on up. Stand here with us. Something is happening here today. And we're just praising God right now for what He's doing. And so today, this is what we did here in mass healing as we surrender to the Lord. Anyone want to give a testimony quickly?
First of all, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I also want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for our pastor that has made it, and Ida, that have made it through living hell over the last 3 months. Father, thank you for a man and a woman that stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can see what really is happening and how God moves on two people. I thank you for Pastor John and Ina and for everybody here that's walking with Christ. And those that are not walking with Christ, God help you to walk with Christ. And I love you, Lord God. And thank you for this pastor and his wife. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated then.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you. but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series, Jesus is Greater Than Any Problem, and was entitled, All Things Are Possible with God. The previous 3 months have been a grueling battle with cancer in Ina's eye, and it got to the point where Pastor John was preparing for defeat when the Holy Spirit told him that God is greater than what you are facing now. Satan's spell was broken, and he began to proclaim this promise from the Lord in faith. Miracles begin with the resurrection of Jesus and knowing that Satan is defeated. Many people believe that Satan is an equal to God, but this is a lie from the devil. He is a created being with limited power. God works in impossible situations, but you need to make up your mind whether it is true in light of the scriptures. So if you're facing an impossible situation, you can still walk in victory, but faith must be applied or nothing will happen. How strong is your faith? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1337. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.